Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about some things that you must acknowledge if you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish as a Christian. These are things that are in our lives, and we must acknowledge them. And that's the word. That's going to be the key word that we are searching in the Scriptures that forms the basis of the topic for our study today. Now, acknowledge. Acknowledge means several things, but one, it means to admit something to be true or to confess it. Acknowledge means to admit something to be true or to confess it. Acknowledge also means to recognize the authority of something or someone. So both of those things, there are other definitions as well, but as we look at these verses that we're going to look at today, it's either to confess something or admit it to be true, or to recognize the authority of something or someone. All right, so first of all, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, we acknowledge the Son. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, that seems to be very obvious, but not everybody is a Christian, okay? So we acknowledge the Son for this purpose, for salvation. In other words, there are a lot of people today who believe that they are saved or that they're going to have eternal life or they're going to end up in some place or on the earth in some kingdom, you know, whatever, however they think in terms of eternal life, and they think they're going to get there, but they don't acknowledge the Son. In other words, they don't recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. They think of him as a lesser God, a created God, but not God manifest in the flesh. And yet 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 tells us that Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5:20 says, "We know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So you need to see what Jesus Christ said about having eternal life through him, because he's the one that has the authority to save you, and he is the one that has the authority to judge you. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius's house to preach to him, here's what he said in Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. "He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." So there he is. He's the judge. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So there's salvation in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's the judgment of the quick and the dead. So he's the one. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when the Philippian jailer came in and asked how to be saved, then Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then in Acts chapter 17, in verse 31, Paul preached, and he said, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he," that is Jesus Christ, "will judge the world in righteousness by that man," that's Jesus Christ, "whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." So by the resurrection, Jesus Christ then has the authority to judge, and he has the authority to save. And you get saved when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do what he says. So you have to acknowledge the Son. I mean, you don't even get started on these other things that we're going to talk about if you don't start with salvation in Jesus Christ. All right, now the second thing. So acknowledge the Son for salvation. Second thing, acknowledge God, and what's the purpose there? For direction. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, a very, very, very well-known verses of Scripture, but often, at times when you need them the most, forgotten, or not followed, or disobeyed, or ignored. You can't do that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So you acknowledge God for direction. All right, well, how does all this break down? There's four things going on in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. First, you must trust the Lord with all your heart. And what I've noticed when people are losing direction, they'll come and they say, I don't know which way to go here. Problem is that, first of all, their trust in the Lord is not there with all their heart. What's occupying a part of their heart is fear. Fear is the thing that is the converse of trust. And that fear, that anxiety, could be from all kinds of directions. It could be toward a person. It could be toward the consequences of the decision that's being made. It could be second-guessing, any number of things. You've got to get to a place where you're trusting the Lord with all of your heart. Peter trusted the Lord when he stepped out of that boat, but then he looked around and became afraid of the boisterous wind and waves, and that's when he fell. Same way with us. You're going to have a hard time detecting the Lord's direction if you're not trusting him with all your heart. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. So you got to go there. Secondly, you can't lean to your own understanding. That's another place where we get in trouble when we're trying to find the right direction, because the way we see it, you see, that the way our understanding is, God's not interested in our understanding. He doesn't even want us to lean that way. He understands, and he will let us know what of his understanding he would have us to have as we are following him. But you have to acknowledge God. So that's what he says in the third part of this four-part thing in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. In all thy ways, you must acknowledge God. What does that mean? You've got to recognize his authority. That's what it means to acknowledge God. You got to recognize his authority. That is, I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to follow you, Lord. You lead. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You lead, and I'm going to follow. Listen, that is the substance of our submission to his authority, that we follow him, we obey what he says, and we follow his direction. Now, if you're following God and God is leading in your life, don't you know that you're going to end up in the right place? Don't you know that you're going to be going in the right direction? Now, if you'll do these things, the Bible says, and he shall direct thy path. So trust him with all your heart first. Don't lean to your own understanding second. And then acknowledge him. It is his authority. It's his direction. It's his will. These are his words. And when you do those three things, he will direct your paths. So you acknowledge the Son for salvation, and you acknowledge God for direction. If you want to know where to go, if you want to know how to get there, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for sure. For sure. Okay, third thing. Philemon, verse 6. We must acknowledge these things in our lives. Philemon, verse 6, is in a context. So let's read verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. You'll notice the word acknowledge or acknowledging in verse 6. Okay, Philemon verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And he'll tell you in verse 6 what he's praying for. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So, you acknowledge the Son for salvation, you acknowledge God for direction, and then you acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ. That's Philemon 6. You acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ. What for? For the effectual communication of your faith. So when you read the context, verses 4 through 7, you see these things. Philemon loved Jesus Christ, and he loved the saints. Now the beauty is he's got that in the right order. Hearing of thy love, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So you love God first. The second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself, or in the New Testament, to love the brethren as Christ loved us. So, but always God first. All right, so you got that going on in verse 6. And then Philemon had faith toward Jesus Christ, and he had faith toward the saints. Notice he says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. You know, when you get saved, when I got saved, Paul said what was going on in Acts chapter 20, verse 21 is this. And this is what Paul was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Watch it. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So Philemon had faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good because that's how he got saved. And watch it, he had faith toward all saints. Now, when he says he had faith toward all saints, here's what he's getting at. Look at verse 7. The bowels of the saints had been refreshed by Philemon because through faith he had been communicating toward them. What does that mean? It didn't mean he was just talking to him or witnessing to him. These guys were saved. What he was doing is he was giving to them. He was giving to them. You see, when you read that word there, that the communication of thy faith, okay, in that context, he's talking about giving them something. For instance, in Philippians 4:15, Paul said to the Philippians, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, Paul uses that same word to describe giving in several places, but let's look at it again in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. This is a charge, as you can see from verse 17, to them that are rich in this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 says, what are they supposed to do? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So he's talking about giving them something. So what Philemon had been doing, Philemon had been communicating his faith toward them by giving them things. And that's why the bowels of the saints had been refreshed by Philemon. Now, Paul had been praying for Philemon. We saw that in verse 4. And he prayed that the communication of his faith might be effectual by acknowledging every good thing that was in him in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Paul prayed that the communication of his faith, that is, whatever he was doing as a result of the faith that God had given him, that he was giving, the good works that he was doing toward the saints, okay, that it might be effectual. What does that mean? That it would produce the desired effect. That's what effectual means, to produce the desired effect or the desired result. Listen, that God had for Philemon's faith. In other words, when God gave Philemon faith and Philemon started working with that faith that was in him by helping the brothers, by helping the saints, that was effectual. God was producing through Philemon something that was helping other saints. You know, in Luke chapter 6, when he says, give and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That is, God gives things to men so that men can then give those things to others that God wants us to help. And that's what Philemon was doing. And in this case, Paul said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging, watch it, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, not only is there good things like, you know, you having riches to be able to help the poor saints, but there are other good things in you that are in there because of Christ Jesus. And if you will acknowledge those things, your faith will become effectual in that you will be doing those things with the faith that God has given you. In other words, there was more that God could accomplish with Philemon's faith if Philemon would recognize all the good things that were in him because he was in Christ Jesus. Really, I believe what Paul was doing here is he prepared Philemon for communicating his faith toward his runaway servant Onesimus. That's what Philemon is about. Paul returns Onesimus to Philemon because Onesimus had run away, but Paul had led him to the Lord. He said, this guy's going to be profitable for Philemon if Philemon will receive him. So once Philemon acknowledges that good thing, which is in him because of faith by Christ Jesus, then he can extend that to Onesimus, which is what Paul wanted to do. There are many good things in you from the Lord Jesus that he wants you to communicate to others. And those things that are in you become effectual when you acknowledge them, okay, and then communicate them. So you have to acknowledge, hey, these things are in here. God gave me this gift. And then I turn around and by faith I communicate those things to others, and God accomplishes in you what he intended when he gave those things to us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, here I am today preaching on the radio so that you can hear this sermon about the things that we have to acknowledge, and that's happening because I'm communicating the faith, acknowledging this good thing that God has given me the ability to do, and praying that it becomes effectual to you so that when you learn something of this, God can do something in your life that is profitable for him. That's a beautiful thing. And the nice thing about it is you don't have to pay a dime for it. It comes to you completely free of charge. Isn't that wonderful? So you acknowledge the Son. That's how you get saved. You acknowledge God for direction. You acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ for the effectual communication of your faith, so that the thing God wants you to do becomes helpful to those toward whom you do it. All right, here's another thing that we must acknowledge. We must acknowledge our sin. Turn to Psalm 32, verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 5. We're not perfect people. Not ever going to be perfect until we get a glorified body, but God wants us to get better. He didn't like that sin in us when we got saved. That's what he paid for. And he really doesn't want us spending time in it now that we're saved. But in order to get it out, you got to acknowledge it. Psalm 32, verse 5. David said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He says the same thing in Psalm 51, 3. What do you acknowledge your sin for? For this, for forgiveness and cleansing. And basically, that's what confession is. It's acknowledging, I agree with you, Lord, this thing in my life is a sin. And you'll never get the sin out if you cannot acknowledge it before the Lord. That's right. Now, if you cuss, if you steal, you know, if you commit adultery, those are very obvious to you. And when you read in the Bible that those things are sin, you're like, wow, that was really bad. I mean, your conscience is giving you trouble. The Bible's giving you trouble. The Holy Spirit's giving you trouble. You got that. And it's pretty easy to acknowledge because it's pretty obvious what you've done. Sin that's rooted down inside of you, that's a little bit harder to deal with. A sin like pride, resentment, covetousness, bitterness, envy, fear, rebellion, sins like that, oh boy, those are hard to see sometimes because you're blinded to those things. You don't realize they're driving you, and they can be really hard to see. So you say, what do I do about it? You stand before the Lord and you let him search you out so he can show you what the sin is that's in you so that you can acknowledge the sin that's in you. You say, well, that's pretty arduous task. It is, because most of the time you can profess your own goodness. That's the way we are. But David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So when God shows it to you, you got to look at that thing and say, man, I have messed up here. And usually when those things are deeply rooted inside of you and you've been holding on to them and they're not obvious to anyone else but God, you don't even recognize them sometimes because you've lived with them for so long, you think they're part of who you are. But once the Lord searches you out, once you know that some of the things you're going through in your life are the result of that sin that's rooted down deep inside of you, God will show it to you, and then you've got to confess it and forsake it. That's right, and that's what the acknowledgement amounts to. It says, you know something? You are right, Lord. That is my sin. I am proud. I am resentful. I'm covetous, bitter, envy. I fear. I'm rebellious. I'm disobedient, whatever the case may be. I'm gluttonous. Boy, nobody wants to talk about that these days. You know, but those are the sins. And so when you get that out there, my thoughts are wicked, I'm an evil, wicked thought person, whatever, you get that out there in front of the Lord, and the Lord looks at that stuff and shows it to you, and then you know what? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You acknowledge that thing. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You got to really get that thing out there before the Lord. Now let me give you one more. You acknowledge the Son for salvation. You acknowledge God for direction. Acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ for the effectual communication of your faith. You acknowledge your sin for forgiveness and cleansing. And then finally, you acknowledge the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, you acknowledge the truth for repentance and recovery from the devil. Now, you can get into some stuff that'll get you, it'll put the devil in charge of what's going on in your life. The whole time you'll think it's the Lord. The Pharisees said to Jesus Christ, you got the devil. And it was the devil that was moving them. And they got it completely backwards. Why? They were blinded. And boy, don't think that kind of stuff can't happen to us. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 25 and 26, the context is there's a servant of the Lord who, in patience, instructing those, or in meekness, it says in verse 25, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, that's really something. But I mean to tell you, it's amazing how many times we have seen such case with God's children. Now, acknowledging the truth is for repentance and for recovery from the devil. The only way to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil is to acknowledge the truth and then repent and then recover yourself. And you know what this starts with? This starts with you taking the instruction from somebody else who recognizes that you are opposing yourself. And that's hard for most people to take. He says here in verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Boy, I mean to tell you, it is hard for people to take that kind of instruction and then to repent after acknowledging the truth. And say, and they look at the Bible and say, you know what, I have been wrong. I have been out of God's truth here. I did not recognize that I was wrong, but I see it now. and I repent and I pray God you'll give me repentance. Why? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, you say, man, I just had no idea that the devil could do that. Well, that's why Paul said, need to give place to the devil. You just can't do that. We can't do that. And so what you do is, of course, you live by the truth. That's what we should be doing. But if you get off track and you're not in the truth, then you got to look at that thing and say, you know what, Lord, I have messed up. I see the truth. I acknowledge the truth. It's right. I'm wrong. I repent. Please, by your grace, give me the strength to recover myself out of this snare. And the Lord will do it. But hey, you got to acknowledge the truth. You got to admit, man, I'm the one that's wrong here. Usually what happens when somebody has been taken captive by the devil at his will and they're in the snare, everybody else is wrong and you're right. You don't have the clue how wrong you really are. You don't have a clue. The only way you see it is you in your pride are really right and everybody else is wrong. You don't even realize you've already been ensnared. And when you can see it in the truth, usually what will happen is people say, that's not I, but it is you. And you got to repent. You got to turn from that. Man, that's tough. I'll guarantee you, boy, that is tough to do. But you know what? Once you get out of that snare, you'll be glad you did. So these are the things that are essential for you and me to acknowledge if we're going to grow and succeed in our Christian lives. We have to acknowledge the Son. You're not even saved if you don't do that. You got to recognize that Jesus Christ is the authority. He is the true God. He is eternal life, and you must receive him for your salvation. He's the Savior. And then acknowledge God in everything that you do, trusting God, not leaning to your own understanding, letting him direct your path. He's the authority. Acknowledge every good thing in you that's from Christ Jesus, so that then you can effectually communicate that by your faith to others. Acknowledge your sin. That's going to be a regular practice. And acknowledge the truth when you get ensnared. And you know what? You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how your Christian life will grow and please God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.